Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, The Power of Relational Warmth, was given by guest pastor Tammy Veach on Sunday, May 22, 2022. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
Henry has informed me that last week there was a great gathering of the church. Many of you attended with some food and some fun and fellowship and a looking at the future and some goals for the next year. And he asked me to follow up with something appropriate to goals or to pick one of the goals. And so I picked the goal of relational warmth. And as we talked about it more, it really, to me, seemed like it was the key to all the other goals. And so that's what we are going to look at this morning, is relational warmth. So I'm going to read our scripture from 1 John, and this is in the Message, not sure what to call it, translation, paraphrase, but the Message. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him and he in us. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior to the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. To love, to be loved. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, because at home becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love and be loved. We were loved, now we love. He first loved us. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. Would you bow with me as we begin in prayer? God of love and grace, thank you for this reminder of the depth of your love for us. And thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and to see how this relates to us here and now in this time and place. Amen. A number of years ago, I was the pastor of a small church. And when I say small church, I mean you knew when someone was a guest because you knew everybody that was typically there. And one Sunday morning, there was a couple sitting in about the third row that I had never seen before. And as I was trying to make my way to say hello to them, I saw another couple headed straight for them. And I thought, oh, these are their friends, or these are people who have been a part of the church in the past and are come back to visit, like me. And I watched as they walked up, looked them straight in the eye and said, "You're sitting in my seat." Not exactly relational warmth. Not a proud pastoral moment for me. And honestly, probably had a lot to do with why it was a small church. That is not the kind of relational warmth that John was talking about in this passage, or that Scripture talks about. The word love appears in the Bible 686 times. It appears in the Gospel of John, same author as what we read, 39 times. That is three times as many as any other gospel. And it is the most of any book in the New Testament, the second most of any book in the Bible. And if you're like me, you're like, well, what's first then? The most is Psalms. But Psalms has 150 chapters. The Gospel of John does not have that many. And this little book of 1 John, this little letter, has five chapters. And it has the second most appearance of the word love in the New Testament. And that is 27 times in five chapters. So the most per chapter of any book of Scripture. So John's making a point, don't you think? And that's why John became known as the Apostle of Love. And when he identifies himself in his gospel, he says, the disciple that Jesus loved. Not because Jesus didn't love any of the others, but because he came to claim that as his identity. I am someone that Jesus loved. What a great identity for us as well. I am someone that Jesus loves. Have you ever answered the question, who are you, with, I am someone Jesus loves? It's a powerful statement. I encourage you to hold on to that. And in this passage, I love the tenderness that John uses toward the readers. That includes us. We're those readers too. Beloved, dear, dear friend. Such tenderness, such love that he expresses to those he's writing to. And John is a poet, so he writes a little differently than some of the others. He has a tendency to say something in the positive, love is this, and then in the contrast, love is not. He tends to be repetitive. That's a poetic style, right? So we can read quite a long passage, but let's summarize that passage. Twice in this passage, he very blatantly, flatly says, God is love. Love comes from God. It is a gift of God to us. It is part of God's creation for us. He created love for us to enjoy, being loved by him and loving him and loving each other as well. It is a gift from God. And then God took that love that he gave to us and he demonstrated it. He demonstrated it by action. He sent his son. And we see in this passage reflections of John 3:16, very well-known verse that John also wrote, that God loved the world so much, he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. And we see that in this passage as well. And he's saying, if you believe it, if you have the doctrine of believing that Jesus came as a sacrifice for your sin, to make clear the path in your relationship with God, with that right doctrine, then is the behavior of love. When we believe it and we experience God's love for us, then we act out of that love for one another. And then the bottom line of the last part of the chapter, he says, if we don't love others, we can't claim to love God. You can't say, well, I love most people. I love some people. I love everybody but Ray. You can't say that. I'm just picking on you. You took my job. No. Just kidding. You can't exclude anyone from that statement and then say that you love God. Right? They don't go together. And I would put forth that love is relational warmth. It's the goal that the church has, to relate warmly to one another. And that this is the key to all the other goals that the church has set for this next year. And I want to break relational warmth down into three parts. There is member to member, or your regular attender, if this is the place you call home. Member to guest, those who come and visit for the first, second, third, fourth time. And then the member to the community. We sometimes forget about that one. But starting with member to member and caring for one another. This is an area that I think BPC does fabulously. In the 2 years that I served as an interim, part of my responsibilities, or part of my honor, really, was to work with the deacons of this church, to see their heart, to see how much they care about people, to know how hard they try to make a connection with people that are in the hospital, people that are shut in, people that have had a baby, whatever, or an injury or accident, how hard they make the effort to get to the hospital, to send cards. It's been harder to get to the hospital in the last 2 years or to go on visits, but to make connection and to let people know that they are loved. And then the small groups. Sometimes the deacons would call somebody and say, can we bring you meals? Oh, no, my small group already has it covered. The kind of care and love given from member to member is great. And how this impacts the goal for the next year is that when people feel cared for, they feel a part of something, they invest in it financially. They give, and that contributes to the goal of increased giving that BPC has set for this year. When you feel loved somewhere, then you feel like you have been served, you in turn want to serve, right? Whether it's to serve in the children's ministry, to be an usher, to be part of the tech team. There are lots of ways in which you say, I want to give back because of what has been given to me. And if you feel loved somewhere, you invite other people, right? And then that brings us to members to guests, because then you're bringing guests, right? Now, every one of us in this room, unless you came as an infant, you can probably remember the first time you came here. You had a first Sunday, second Sunday experience here at BPC. And as many people as there are in this room, there are that many different experiences, right? And I just want to share our experience of when we came for the first time. Our daughter was in high school. Our son had already walked away from the church. Finding a good youth group was desperately important to us. We did not want her to also walk away. And so the people we bought our house from actually recommended the youth group of BPC, even though they were Catholic and went to the Catholic church. Their son liked the youth group here. So we came that first Sunday. It was at the El Rey. People said hello, handed us a bulletin, and we went in and we sat and we saw the youth group all sitting right down front together. We thought, this is a good sign. They're not up in the corner of the back somewhere. They want to be together. They're sitting there. The worship was great. Our daughter's a musician, so that was super important to her as well as to us. And the preaching was great. And we thought, we'll come back here. And we came a second, a third, a fourth time. And at about the fourth time, no one had said more than hello to us. No one had connected with us and started a conversation with us. And I was honestly ready to go somewhere else. And then I thought, I'm an extrovert. I'm comfortable in the church setting. I'm just going to take the bull by the horns myself and make this happen. And I remembered, you know, this guy that probably most of the Sundays had smiled and said hello and handed us a bulletin. And I'd seen him with what I thought was a wife, so it wouldn't be really weird if I walked up to some guy I didn't know and invite him to lunch. It turned out to be Jeff Kripe. And so Jeff and Joanne, we went to lunch with them. And that was great people to connect with because they knew the church well, they knew the community well, and they introduced us to some other people, and they helped our daughter get connected with some people who knew something about the youth group. But I was on the verge of walking away, and I had to make that happen. And I don't say this to scold anyone, but simply to say, be aware of who's around you. Because one of the other things that we discovered is that wasn't just true at Bidwell. That was true of Chico in general. It was, everyone was friendly and nice, but it was really hard to connect. And I compare it to, you know, everybody's dance card was full. Everybody had their friends. A lot of people had lived here a long time. They already had their connections. They weren't looking for more connections. But as Chico is growing, I can't believe how many new homes there are in the year we've been gone. There's a lot of new people. So be aware of them and work to engage them. If you see someone you don't know, reach out to them. And, you know, introverts, you might have to pace yourself. You know, one person a Sunday I can do, you know, whatever it takes. You might not be the extrovert that I am, but, and I know that the elders have made a commitment that before they talk to their friends, they're going to talk to people they know. So if you're friends with an elder and they're not walking up and greeting you, don't be offended. They're still your friends, but to reach out to those you don't already know. And if you're in a small group, I encourage you to do the same about your small group. Don't make them the first people you talk to. Don't talk to the people in your small group whose phone number you have and email you have and, you know, you may have lunch dates on the calendar with or whatever. Don't talk to them until you've talked to somebody you don't know and engaged them in conversation. Because people will come back to 3, maybe 4 times because the music's good and the preaching's good, but they likely won't keep coming if they haven't made a connection. Super, super important. And that, of course, relates to the 2 growth goals that BPC has of doubling attendance. That's a mighty goal. But that means people are inviting. You're those people that are inviting. And then everybody else has responsibility of connecting. And the church can see growth. And the church is focused on a growth between 15 and 29. And that's not to say if you're not in that age group that we're not going to greet you and welcome you. One of the beautiful things about BPC is how intergenerational it is, the age range that I can look out and see. But the church as a whole, not BPC, the worldwide church, internationally, that's the age group that's disappearing from the church. So without intention from churches like BPC and other churches everywhere of saying we really want to make sure that we connect with those in the age group of 15 to 29, they'll disappear from the church. And that's the age group of my kids. It means a lot to me. I've had one that's walked away. I want churches that welcome that age group. And the church doesn't have much of a future if we don't reach that age group. The third area that we often forget about is that our relational warmth extends to the community as well. That when you go out around the area, you represent Christ. and you represent BPC, and you might think, well, I don't really represent the church because I don't really talk about the church when I go places. But, what if that waitress that served you dinner on Friday night or the clerk that checked you out in the grocery store yesterday were to show up here this morning? Would they see you and recognize, oh, I helped them this weekend, and they were so nice, even though it was really, really busy because it's graduation weekend. They were patient, and they were kind, and they were respectful. Or would they go, oh, no, not him? You know, what is their response? You represent this church in the community, even when you don't realize it, and especially when you are doing intentional acts of service, whether it's through Serve Chico or when the church greets the students when they come back in the fall, or you're working with the Jesus Center, wherever, you represent BPC. You represent Christ. And love really is the key. I'd like to share with you how Donald Barnhouse took the fruits of the Spirit and turned them into how love is the key. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Patience is love enduring. Kindness is love's truth. If this were my quote, I would say kindness is love's action. It's not my quote, but that's how I would say it. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgiveness. Gentleness to yourself. And self-control is love at the reins. That love is the key. Now, I'd like to send you out with a visual picture that you can take with you. So if we take this wheel and we think of the center as God, it's where everything connects. We think of this circle here where the spokes are as the church. We see it as individuals drawing near, and the church is drawing near to God. Right? So God is the center. When we come together, our goal is to grow closer to God, to increase our intimacy with one another, our relationships together. And it would be really counterproductive for one spoke to say about the other spoke, well, I don't really like you, and I'm not going to support you, and I'm not going to have anything to do with you, because that would weaken the integrity of the entire thing. And then those individuals go out into the community with the idea of strengthening the community and drawing them in to a center of the church and Christ. And then when it's all functioning as it should, it moves forward and continues to go and continues to grow, and you don't see the decline of the church. And the center of that is God's love for us and our love for one another as we connect with each other every time we come together, every time we support and encourage each other and give strength to one another through prayer, through notes, through a phone call, through a hug on a Sunday morning, through a smile, through a conversation. We strengthen the entire community in our love for one another. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the gift of love that you created for our enjoyment, in our joy of loving you, our joy of being loved by you, that it gives us strength then to respond by loving one another. I just pray over the goals that BPC has set for this next year and for how love is really central to all of those goals. But may we first and foremost remember how deeply and dearly we are loved by you, that you would send your Son in our place as a sacrifice for us. Thank you for that great and mighty gift. Amen.